Hare Krishna. Where is Srila Prabhupada? Morning, dear devotees. First question, can you hear me? Yes? Okay, thank you. I'm a little late because my computer crashed again. And unexpectedly, I had to move to a different location. And hopefully, it will recover from the crash as it did last time. It did the same thing, but for now, I had to adjust. Before I begin, I don't know, I always have to start off with something like this. It seems it's becoming more frequent. Jasomati Nandan Prabhu, I just received a notification this afternoon. He has departed, but it seems in all likelihood he's not going to survive. He had two heart attacks, and after getting COVID, he had two heart attacks, and I guess it's moving into organ failure. And at this particular time, my god brothers who have written to me are requesting the devotees similar type of prayer. It seems it's time for him to move on to his next service as it was presented to me. And we don't know how much time he has left, but please remember him in your prayers. And let us pray that whatever Krishna decides, although my god brother who wrote to me, he said we could always hope for a miracle, and but he said it's what will be required at this particular point. He's a very dedicated servant to Srila Prabhupada for so many years. Well, he began the Ahmedabad temple and developed it single-handedly for so long. And I remember visiting him. I have a very nice memory. I can't remember what year it was. It was in the 1990s. And it was just when the new satellite road temple was just beginning construction. And I had to have a surgery done in a clinic in Ahmedabad. And it was a small operation. And one devotee I knew from Canada, as a matter of fact, from Toronto, his brother had a clinic in Ahmedabad. And Vakesh Bhandari was his name. And his brother Nagesh arranged for surgery for me there in India. And I was going to have a, I can't remember exactly how it happened, but Jasomati Nandan Prabhu, when he found out that I was having surgery, he insisted I stay at the temple, demanded I stay at the temple after surgery. And then when I arrived at the temple after surgery, lo and behold, where did he put me? But he put me in his room, in his office. He just moved everything out, made all arrangements for me to completely take over his office for a week to recover. And not only that, but he made daily for me, because he knew how much I liked hot chapatis. He would take off the stove one by one and deliver hot chapatis to me in the room after cooking lunch. It was not a very developed temple at the time, but it was, I could see at that time how much he was the center of focus and how determined he was to see this temple manifest for Prabhupada's desire. And we would sit and talk about it, and certainly he was very successful in bringing that temple to fruit. As I mentioned before, I went and visited him, I think it was last year. I didn't have to stay in his room. He had a nice guest room for me. I gave classes there for a couple of days. And always very cordial. Wonderful devotee. Just a wonderful devotee who gave his, who's given his life to Prabhupada. And anybody who gives his life in Prabhupada and to Prabhupada, service to his mission, we can be certain that he will be recognized for the sacrifices he's made. And I don't want to go into a whole presentation. I mean, a whole memorial program. He hasn't departed yet. But I definitely did want to say a few words about him and how much his association is relished by many senior devotees in India. You talk to any senior devotee leader in the Indian Yatra, and for everyone, Jasomati Nandan is a pillar. And we can only pray that he'll continue wherever Krishna wants him to go. And whether he stays here or moves onwards, he'll continue in very confidential service to the devotees. And they will ensure his life will be successful, whatever the outcome. So this was the report I received about maybe about 3 hours ago. My godbrother Basu Ghosh sent me an email and updated me. I don't want to start. Once I get started, anyways, I believe that what we have to read here in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, because it's always relevant, it will be relevant somehow to this topic we just raised, and it will be relevant to each and every one of us, hopefully, especially in the area that we're moving into now, which is Brihad Bhagavatamrita, chapter 4. Text 76 is today's verse. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tardarshana Nandavarina Tesham Vismritya Siksham Bhattaparshadanam Gopalehe Jivatam Itya Bhikshnam Koshan Adavan Parirambanaya. Translation. The fullness of the ecstasy this sight brought on made me forget what the attendants of the Lord had instructed me. I cried out again and again, O Gopal, my life and soul, and I ran forward to embrace the Lord. Commentary. Having chanted the 10-syllable mantra of Lord Gopal for so long, Gopakumara was used to worshiping the Lord with natural spontaneity, and now he impulsively expressed his love in a way unusual for Vaikuntha. Forgetful of all ideas of awe and reverence, he ran forward with open arms to embrace his Lord. I'm going to read several verses today. Krishte sthitarvigyavarajitastar dino mahaka kukulam prakurvan pimature kena venirjito ham samprapyamoham yapatam tarangre. Some discerning attendants who were standing at the Lord's side held me back, and I was heartbroken. I cried out in helpless distress again and again, overcome by my own excessive love, and fell unconscious in front of the Lord. No commentary. Utapyatar eva balacharena samgyam pranito shunipata vignam samajanena bibhavan karadhyam netre prayatna udamilayam dve. With some effort, those attendants lifted me up, and after some time, I regained consciousness. I wiped away with my hands the flood of tears that blocked my sight. And with difficulty, I finally opened my eyes. No commentary. Tavadayalu pravarenatena snehena gambira midu swarena svasto bhava gachcha javena vatset yad yuchamanam shutavan vachoham. Then I heard the Lord, that best of merciful persons, tell me in a deep, gentle voice, "Please come back to your senses, dear boy. Come here quickly." Commentary. From the moment Gopakumar fell unconscious, Lord Narayan had been calling him. But Gopakumara was able to hear him only after regaining consciousness. The Lord also told him, "Please give up this reverence for me. Let's talk together as friends." Text 80. Harshasya kastam paramam tato gato nityam mahon margahita van mahu brashyan amibhi parama prayasita samprapita staryamata prabhodita. I then felt the highest limit of joy. I danced all around as if seized by madness and stumbled about. But with great endeavor, the Lord's servants calmed me down, and at last I awakened from that trance. Commentary. Hearing those words from Lord Narayan drove Gopakumar apparently insane. In truth, however, this insanity was the perfection of clear consciousness, in which the one who suffers feels the ultimate extreme of happiness. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Svagatam Svagatam Vatsa Jishya Jishya Bhavan Maya Sangatotra Tvadiksha Yam Chiram Utkantite Nahi. The Supreme Lord said, "Welcome, welcome, my dear boy. I am fortunate, most fortunate, to meet you here. For so long, I have been eager to see you. Commentary. Hoping to calm Gopakumar, the most compassionate Lord greeted him as a welcome guest. The Lord stated honestly that he had been waiting a long time for Gopakumar to come to Vaikuntha. Bahuni gamitan yangang janmani bhavata sake katanchit api mayabhi mukyam kichit akarina. My dear friend, you have passed many lifetimes without paying any attention to me at all. Asmin asmin ihe haiva bhavi bhavi mad unmuka ityasya tavatyantam nartatosmi sadagyavat. For so long, hope had me dancing like a fool, thinking, perhaps in this lifetime, or this, or this, or this, he will finally turn his face toward me. Commentary. Even though Gopakumara had forgotten his Lord for many lifetimes, the Lord had never forgotten him. The Lord wanted Gopakumara to know this, and also to know how eager the Lord had always been to regain the association of his devotee. Text 84. Chalam chana labhe kinchit yena dhyam parapalayam nirbandham svakritam bratar anayam yatmana padam. But I could find no pretext on which to bring you to my abode, dear brother, and still follow the timeless laws that I myself have created. Commentary. Since the Supreme Lord is all-powerful, why didn't he simply find a way to bring Gopakumar to him sooner? The Lord establishes the laws of the universe, which are enunciated in the Vedas and other scriptures, and he chooses to adhere to his own restrictions. As long as living entities want to control and enjoy their own world, he does not interfere. Only when they show by calling out his names that they want to return to him does he again reveal himself. In previous lives, Gopakumara had never chanted the names of Lord Narayan, even unintentionally or in jest. Had he at least vibrated the shadow of the Lord's name, he could have been delivered like Ajamil. In any case, now Gopakumara is finally returning home. Om Gyana Timirandasya Garanjana Salakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Dena Tasmai Shri Gurudev Namaha Mukam Kuroti Vachalam Bhangam Nangayate Garim Yakipa Tamaham Bande Shri Gurundina Taranam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamin Iti Namane Namaste Sarasate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shanyavari Paschachade Sitarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadardhara Srivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We covered quite a few verses, but the last class, we spoke about how Gopakumar was fixated on the appearance of the Lord and attracted by his youthful beauty. And then the Lord extended his lotus feet a few times, it says. A few times he extended his lotus feet, which was an indication that he was thinking of how to benefit his devotees. Reference was given to the verse from the Bhagavatam when the Lord raised his feet before Lord Brahma after Lord Brahma had recited his prayers. And I'm sorry, I forgot to do one thing here. Let's see if I can accomplish it. It was an indication of how the Lord is very eager to help his devotees to come to him. It is oftentimes even stated, Prabhupada, I believe, even speaks about it, that the Lord is more eager for us to return to him than we are to return. And therefore, we said that his raising of his lotus feet, extending them before everyone, especially before Gopakumar, was a prelude to these verses, which really very in great detail describes the disposition the Lord has towards not just his devotees, but even those who neglect him. Because as he described in the verse, I was looking for an opportunity, something, some indication. I wanted to look for any way I could possibly intervene in accordance with the way I've established the rules and the given in the Vedas and what to speak of. The rules which are followed by the associates of the Lord, the Vishnu Dutas, or the Vaikunthavasis, whatever name we wish to give them, who act on his behalf. They're always looking also on the Lord's behalf for some potential indication that they can intervene and somehow call it a concession, call it a divine intervention, call it mercy, exceptional mercy, which is even referred to in the next verse. We haven't read yet, but it will come up in the next verse, exceptional mercy. There's a distinction between mercy and exceptional mercy, which makes me think, this is off the point, but it's not really off the point. But somehow it makes me think of something Prabhupada once said, and because I'll never forget it, that it was in 1975. I can't remember where Prabhupada was at the time, but I was distributing books at the time. And Prabhupada made some statement indicating that for the devotees who travel in vans and distribute my books, they get my extra special mercy. And somehow this quote really circulated. I don't even know the reference. I don't know. I think it came in on a Sankirtan newsletter. Wherever it came from, it managed to manifest itself to the three of us who were at that time traveling, distributing his books. And we were had a class one morning in an attempt to understand what does Prabhupada's extra special mercy mean. And we went through a deep analysis, and in our discussion, realizing that somehow we were also fortunate to be engaged in Srila Prabhupada's service. And what to speak of realizing our great fortune to be engaged in that service, that particular service that Prabhupada indicated was very pleasing to him. But we all felt to be receptacles of Prabhupada's mercy. And therefore, we had this discussion that morning in class, is what could extra special mercy possibly mean? And although we went back and forth, we had our class in those days on the deck of our van, where we slept, where we had class, where we cooked. And in fact, at those times, I used to give class and cook at the same time. Just in order to save time. I remember specifically, I was stirring the sabji, and I was reading from the Bhagavatam, and we were discussing what this extra special mercy was. And then we all concluded that whatever it was, we all wanted it. And therefore, at that particular point, call it madness, insanity, I didn't want to compare it anything to what Gopa Kumara was experiencing in his madness and insanity in the presence of Lord Narayan. But nonetheless, Prabhupada definitely brought us to another stage of madness and insanity. And because we wanted to find out what that extra special mercy was that Prabhupada said he would give. Because we said, we're already traveling in vans and distributing his books. So what is this extra special mercy? Anyways, indication is also given in the next verse that the Lord dispenses his mercy. And without his mercy, it's not possible to approach him. It's not possible to know him. But the indication was that there was some there was some special mercy that somehow he invoked for Gopa Kumara. I'm jumping ahead a little bit. I want to stick to this verse which today is describing. The verse today is describing that he was looking for an indication. Not only was he looking for an indication, but as he explained that, and he indicated, I've been waiting for a long time. Now, when we hear that, I know when I hear that, what it invokes, at least initially invoked in me, is that we're thinking of Lord Narayan sitting there in Vaikuntha and saying, you know, I've been waiting for you for a long time. And it almost seems like there was a division in his absorption. Now, of course, one of the features of the Lord in Vaikuntha is that one of the features which distinguishes him in Vaikuntha from Goloka, that is, in Vaikuntha, he's predominantly omniscient. And in Goloka, because of the sweetness of the pastimes in Goloka, he's predominantly mugdha or bewildered by the spontaneous love which is expressed by his devotees who love him in natural, spontaneous devotional service towards him, and his reciprocation is such that it captivates him in such a way that he loses, it appears that he loses focus. He loses focus on omniscience, and he's only focused on, you know, the reciprocal affairs, especially those by his reciprocation of the loving affairs of Srimati Radharani and the gopis. We even indicated this the other day. I can't remember what was here when we were speaking to the English group or to the Russian speaking group, but we were indicating that how Krishna is so spontaneous that, you know, even though his attention may be there for the cowherd boys and his attention may be there for the cows, when the gopis and especially Srimati Radharani appears, then his attention immediately goes there. And it may appear that if his attention is exclusively fixed on the gopis, but to speak of exclusively fixed on Srimati Radharani, and he's so much bewildered by that love of his devotees who serve him in that way, and that is what is described in Raghavatma Chandrika, that he becomes bewildered by that love, that he forgets his divinity. And if he forgets his divinity, then what happens to his omniscience? It seems like somehow your omniscience is temporarily covered, and he forgets. And not only does he forget, but he's focused exclusively on that exclusive love which has captivated his mind the most. And even in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, you know, the verses that are given there, that when the gopis chastise me, that it merely steals away my mind from the reverential hymns of the Vedas. My mind is immediately just, all those who are offering reverential hymns, and although they are offering them in devotion and attachment and great reverence, but when the gopis chastise me, sorry, whew, my mind. So then, you know, the personified Vedas may be feeling, what happens now? Do we wait for him to come back and acknowledge that he's listening again, or what happens? But nonetheless, in the pastimes of Goloka, the indication is there that the devotees capture his mind, steals his mind, it by their loving attitude towards him, and he becomes so bewildered by their love that he forgets his divinity, and he, as indicated in by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he becomes fearful by Mother Jasoda's stick, and he makes it very clear in Raghavatma Chandrika that it's not a question that Krishna's pretending to be fearful. And if Krishna was pretending to be fearful, then as Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes, then Queen Kunti in her prayers wouldn't be so bewildered by watching Krishna's fear of his mother, because it wouldn't be very bewildering to her, because she has Aishwarya Gyan and she knows that Krishna's God. That's the nature of her love, is that she knows Krishna's God, so it makes sense Krishna's God and he's pretending to be afraid. So it wouldn't be very bewildering to her under those circumstances when Krishna's rubbing his eyes out of fear and expressing great anxiety at the stick of his mother. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur specifically states that the reason why it was so bewildering to Kunti Devi is because he wasn't pretending. And he was afraid. And that's what spontaneous love does. Spontaneous love makes Krishna forget. Makes Krishna so subservient to that spontaneous love that he becomes bewildered by it. And in many respects, he not only becomes subservient, but as we indicated previously, he becomes subordinate and begins to plead for the opportunity to serve his most confidential devotees, and devises different ways of how to capture their love, and capture their attention, and to eradicate their anger, which sometimes Srimati Radharani expresses in Krishna's presence. Her man is there, her anger is there, and Krishna has to find different ways to pacify her anger. And you know, he falls down at her feet and touches her feet, puts his flute at her feet, and it's whatever. He's just so submissive. And that's his submissive love to, of course, the one who controls him by her love. So that's Goloka. But here we're talking about Vaikuntha. And in Vaikuntha, as we said, according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he explains that in Goloka, he's predominantly mugda, or bewildered, by the subservient love he manifests towards his devotees. But sometimes there's some omniscience. Sometimes there's some display of his opulences, but predominantly bewildered. But in Vaikuntha, in Dwarka, and in the place which is predominated by Aishwarya Gyan, opulences, then Krishna, Lord Narayan, he is predominantly Aishwarya and predominantly omniscient. So therefore, it's understandable, and with the case of Gopakumar being omniscient, he's, you know, Vedanti Tatvad Vedas Tatvad Yajganam Advayam Brahmeti Paramatmeti Bhagavan Iti Shabdyate. Learned transcendentalists who know the absolute truth, they call this non-dual substance, Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. They are all different aspects of the one same absolute truth. Therefore, for him to be omniscient is to say that, yes, Lord Narayan is saying, I've been thinking about you, I've been waiting for you. But how is he omniscient? Because the super soul is not different from him. And as a super soul, he's, which is a further expansion of the Lord, he is manifest within the heart of every living being. And he is bearing witness to not only their activities, he's bearing witness to their desires. Prabhupada gives the example that just like a person who is close to the flower can understand the fragrance of the flower just by being close to it, in the same way, the Lord, who is the super soul in the heart of all living beings, and what Prabhupada refers to in so many places, and when he refers to the super soul, Suridam Savabhutanam, He specifically states he's our best friend. Why is he our best friend? A best friend is somebody who's already thinking about how to do something for us before we even take the initiative. Imagine somebody who's always thinking about how to do something, and that's what he's saying here. That's exactly what he's explaining here to Gopal Kumar. He said, I've always been thinking about you, even though you were neglecting me, birth after birth. I've been waiting for you a long time. And the word that he's used here again is asmin. I think asmin, asmin. Where is it? Asmin, asmin, ehe haiva. In other words, when he repeats the words asmin, asmin, what he's indicating is saying, in this lifetime, in this lifetime, in this lifetime, what he's saying is, a long time I've been waiting. There's a long time indication. Asmin, asmin, this time, this time. For us, it may seem like a lifetime's a long time. But for Krishna, who's accompanying every living entity as the super soul, as the witness, and two birds seated in a tree, one bird is the super soul, who's simply waiting for the other bird to turn his face to him. That is all. And that's exactly what the Lord is saying. I've been waiting, waiting, longing, wanting. When I've tried to find ways that I could give extra special mercy, but I had to conform to the way I had to follow my own standards, which was what we just read in this verse. I voluntarily complied with my own standards and simply take the part of the permitter and the witness. And as the permitter and as the witness, there's not much lila there. There's not much exchange as the permitter and the witness. It's just the lila, the exchange is that I'm seated within your heart. And if you turn to me, Ananyas Chintayatomam Yejanapayupashante, then I will take 100 steps to you. You know, and whatever you lack, I'll carry for you. Whatever you have, I'll preserve for you. I'll do anything possible. And as we said, as that super soul, omniscient super soul, the Lord is actually expressing this to Gopal Kumar in this way, that I've been waiting a long time. I've been waiting a long time. And you've been neglecting me, but I haven't been neglecting you. And if we really understand the depth of these statements of the omniscient Lord, and then it really gives us at least a little bit of an awareness, insight of just who's there in the heart. And who are we fooling? And who are we? You know, we can give so much lip service, but I want. But Krishna knows how much we want him. And although we may say it, he said in this verse, what we just read, this last verse, I was looking for an excuse. I mean, even if you only once said my name in jest, even if you only once said my name, somehow just said the name Narayan, somehow just said once, I could have had what I wanted. This is what I wanted. I wanted to do that. But you didn't give me that. You didn't give it to me. So
I believe that what these verses show, this demonstrates, is an expansion of what the Lord means when he extends his lotus feet. And his indication when he extends his lotus feet is that he's ready and wanting to reciprocate with the whatever indication we may have. In fact, he even said to Gopakumara here as Lord Narayan, he said to Gopakumara, give up this awe and reverence. Come, let's have some, friendly exchanges. Give up this awe and reverence. He was trying, he was the Lord of Vaikuntha, but telling him to give up this awe and reverence. And sure, Gopakumara was impressed by that. And not only that, but as we said, what will be revealed a little bit further on is not only did he say, give up the reverence and give up, and he manifested, the Lord Narayan, manifested himself as in the form of a cowherd boy so that Gopakumara could see him. He arranged that whole thing. It wasn't because Gopakumara did it by his desires. It was the Lord did it because of Gopakumara's desires. Although Gopakumara had all the opulences, all the potencies, as all the residents of Vaikuntha have and can display them, the Lord did this for Gopakumara, and he showed Gopakumara this form. And he saw the goddess of fortune as Srimati Radharani. He saw his associates as the cowherd boys. And then when he was in the gardens, of Vaikuntha, in those gardens of Vaikuntha, he saw the cows and he saw cowherd boys. But what was still missing, of course, as we've indicated again and again, was he was looking for that more spontaneous exchange, of course, which he gets when he arrives in Goloka. As we said before, the awe and reverence and the more formal exchanges here in Vaikuntha, but when finally Gopakumara arrives in Goloka, the only thing that happens there is Gopakumara sits by the gate, he sees the dust of the calves and cows coming from the pasturing ground, he sees Krishna coming, approaching, and he sees everybody else around, just waiting for this opportunity for Krishna to come. And then, although everybody's waiting for him, everybody, the gopis are there, Mother Jasoda, she's waiting, and everyone's waiting. What does Krishna do? What does Krishna do there? This is the extra special mercy. Krishna, Gopakumara is standing there, and Krishna reaches out in his embrace. He falls to the ground and he loses consciousness and he faints in ecstasy, crying. He just completely loses it. And then the gopis are standing there watching and thinking, and they're all watching, saying, who is this person that this happened to Krishna? They started to think that maybe he was somebody sent by Kamsa. They didn't really know what happened. To see Krishna react in this way. But this was how Krishna responds to that in Goloka to the devotees because of their selfless love. But in Vaikuntha, which we are, right now, in Vaikuntha, as we said, we get to get an indication about, to understand about the Lord's omniscience and how his description here of his long anticipation for the arrival of Gopakumara was based upon his continuous waiting as he traveled with him from one body to the next. as the all-omniscient supersoul, and waiting for that indication to turn to me, just to turn to me, whatever way it was, whatever way it could be, waiting for that turn, so that he could find the means to bring the devotee to him. Tesham nitya yuktanam yoga kshema vaham yaham. And so essentially, these verses which we just read, and which were spoken by Lord Narayan to Gopakumar, were a description of his omniscient observation as the super soul, who is, as we said, non-different from him. They're just simply different features according to the worshiper. Those who worship him as the all-pervasive Brahman, then they see him as the all-pervasive Brahman. Those who worship him as the Lord seated within the heart by dint of their mystic yogic practices, then of course they begin to realize and to see that the Lord is there within the heart, and how the superior dictation is coming from the Lord within the heart, how the devotee can come to him. But for those who engage in loving, spontaneous devotional service to him, by hearing about his loving, spontaneous pastimes with his devotees in Goloka Vrindavan, and who chant his holy names, as described so much that we've described before, previous to Gopakumara's attainment to Vaikuntha, they begin to realize, by dint of their chanting in that proper mood, they can gradually realize that form of the Lord, which is their object of meditation, object of worship, their Ishtadev. And for that exchange, which Gopakumara was specifically looking for and couldn't find in Vaikuntha. Now, we can say that, okay, he couldn't find that in Vaikuntha, but certainly if he can't find it in Vaikuntha, then where is it possible? How is it possible to be found here? Now, that brings me back to one important point that I wanted to make about my description of Raghavatma Chandrika. And it's a very important point. And I brought it up because I wanted to mention that point about that in Krishna's pastimes, in Vaikuntha, he's predominantly omniscient. And sometimes he's covered. But in Goloka, he's predominantly covered, his sweetness, and sometimes he's omniscient. But Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur concludes that it should be understood that part of the inconceivable nature of the Lord is that he can be simultaneously bewildered and omniscient, simultaneously. Now, if you try to conceive of it, it's not possible. But he brings out this point on a very, very important point. He brings out this point when he speaks about Krishna in Goloka. In fact, I'll read it and I'll elaborate on it. It's a He says that Sri Shyama Sundara is always so absorbed in his pastimes with the beautiful girls of Raj who have accepted Cupid as their friend that he is not aware of any loss, he's not aware of any exhaustion, household duties, danger, fear, worry, defeat,
by his enemies.
From all this, we can understand that he has no chance to think of anyone else but Srimati Radharani and the gopis of Raj, since he is bewildered by his loving pastimes with them. Okay? That's clear, right? Can't think of anyone else. How will he then accept the service rendered to him by the countless devotees engaged in spontaneous devotional service who come to him from different directions and from different countries, from everywhere? In other words, if he's so absorbed and can't think of anybody else, can't think of anything else, nothing else comes, then what's going to happen to those devotees who are spontaneously developing this spontaneous love for the Lord by hearing the descriptions of his spontaneous pastimes of the Lord, with how he loves his devotees spontaneously, by meditating on these pastimes, by remembering these pastimes, by thinking of these pastimes as they're chanting the holy names of the Lord, by meditating on those who serve him in the same mood that they aspire and they covet to serve in that way, who are thinking in this way, but there's someplace off in some universe amongst the unlimited universes, which are like a bucket of mustard seeds, unlimited universes throughout the entire one-fourth of the cosmic manifestation, there are these devotees who are actually praying, meditating, and looking for the Lord to please engage them in this mood, in a service which they aspire for. Okay? Such as which Gopa Kumar was doing in Mathura. He went back to Mathura to do that. So that was his meditation. And so does it mean that Krishna's just too busy for them? He's just too wrapped up with the love of the gopis to hear their prayers and to think about their love in this way and to be even conscious or aware of them? And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur brings out the point, a very important point, that if you try to pacify these devotees, it's the super soul. They'll say, what? What are you trying to tell me? Super soul? Who's the super soul? Who? They don't. Their heart will be damaged if you try to convince them it's the super soul. They'll be damaged. They have a different meditation. If it's the super soul, then it's painful for them. So therefore, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur makes it very clear that for those who are meditating in this way, aspiring to serve in this way, who are purely chanting in this way, wherever they may be, it's not the super soul. Krishna knows because he's Sarvajna. He knows. And he makes the arrangement to bring his devotee to him. So I paraphrased. I was going to read it, but I paraphrased the point that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur makes. And that is that we can't just say that he's always bewildered, because if we say that, then who's going to be listening to those prayers? Who's going to be reciprocating? If he's just bewildered and just thinking exclusively. So this is achintya, inconceivable. No, this is, and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur quotes the verse about Uddhava, when Uddhava also expresses in his prayers after the Lord departs, and Uddhava's in his prayers to the Lord, he's remembering how the Lord called upon him for advice. Krishna was given a choice to go to the Rajasuya sacrifice, which he was invited by Yudhisthira Maharaj. And because he's so compelled by the love of Yudhisthira Maharaj, he was compelled to go there. But it just so happened at the same time, the kings who were captured, who captured them? Was it Bamasur? No, it wasn't Bamasur. I can't remember. The kings who were captured, they had sent a message that please come and rescue us. And because Krishna was inclined to rescue them, he had to, because he's very compassionate towards those who are seeking his shelter, he was thinking, how can I do both at the same time? So he was reflecting on this. He was saying in his prayer, how is it possible that you're omniscient, you know everything, and you're asking me for advice? And this is very bewildering to me. But then he understood that actually, neither you're not bewildered because you know everything, but you appear to be bewildered. And I know who you are. You're the Supreme Lord, but I'm bewildered. So neither am I bewildered or not bewildered, and neither are you bewildered or not bewildered. The only thing that can be concluded is that you're simultaneously bewildered and not bewildered. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur uses this verse as further evidence to establish his point that this is Krishna's inconceivable nature of being simultaneously bewildered, forgetful, and all-knowing. That he knows how to reciprocate with those who are have engaged in spontaneous love, so that they're thinking, I've got his attention fully. And he knows how to reciprocate with those, wherever they may be, who also are hankering for that exclusive attention in their worship. And he can therefore be simultaneously in Goloka Vrindavan, all-knowing and bewildered. So, but we're talking about Vaikuntha, where he's predominantly omniscient. And therefore, because he's predominantly omniscient, he's given all of these different reasons why he was thinking always about Gopakumara as and hankering. He said, he even said, what is it? Caused me to dance? He said, yeah, for so long, hope had me dancing like a fool. Thinking perhaps in this lifetime, or this, or this, or this, he will finally turn his face toward me. If that isn't convincing, I don't know what else we can find that's convincing that Krishna is our best friend. And I'm going to end with one quote from this is a quote from the Tattva Sandarbha. And Tattva Sandarbha, Srila Jiva Goswami is giving four reasons why Krishna's most worshipable and most worthy for all of our love. He gives four reasons. And he gives, because the personality, this is Gopi Purana Dana Prabhu's translation of Tattva Sandarbha, it's Anucheda, Anucheda 45, Tattva Sandarbha. Thus, because the personality of Godhead is always thinking of everyone's benefit by giving spiritual instructions. He says, thus, because the personality of Godhead gives spiritual instructions for everyone's benefit. And he comes himself, delivers his instructions to Arjuna. He leaves instructions behind in the form of Bhagavad Gita. He's situated within the heart. He says, thus, because the personality of Godhead gives spiritual instructions for everyone's benefit, because he can relieve everyone's unhappiness. Because as the sun is to its rays, he is the supreme self of all the jivas. And because he possesses all super excellent qualities, he is supremely deserving of love. By this understanding, one can also ascertain the final goal, or prayojana. Now, there's a verse. Hope I can find it. Yes. No, I can't find it. But it's a verse from one of the Upanishads. And basically what it says, at just as the body, no, what is it? The living entities, the jivas, are just as the sun rays. Sun rays are resting on the sun. And the sun rays cannot exist without the sun. The living entities cannot exist without the Lord. And therefore, it is described that the living entities are completely dependent upon the Lord as the super soul. And because just as a living entity, oh, I remember who it is. It's a Gopi Pranadana's commentary. It's his commentary to this verse in Tattva Sandarbha. It is so good. Let me see if I can find it, as long as I'm sitting from the computer. In his commentary to Tattva Sandarbha, forgive me, there's such a good quote from the Upanishad. And yes, here it is. Uh-huh.
Knowing? No, that's the wrong verse. 45. Okay. All living persons naturally love themselves. I'm looking at the computer. Can you hear me? Okay. Sorry, I've not done this before. All living persons naturally love themselves. Self-hate and indifference to one's own welfare are unnatural. Enlightened self-interest as an impetus for spiritual development is healthy and necessary. But when one has advanced in understanding the true basis of self-satisfaction, one will discover that the Supreme Person deserves one's love the most. God and the jivas are separate beings. Just as a flame is not identical with its sparks, but is their super self, their source of existence, the Supreme Lord is the super self of all selves. The Antaryami Brahmana of the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad instructs that the jivatmas are bodies of the Paramatma, and he is the soul who possesses them. Therefore, though the jiva is prem yogya, deserving of love, the personality of Godhead is parama prema yogya, supremely deserving of love. Love of God is not something to be learned only theoretically or vicariously from the testimony of others. All aspiring Vaishnavas must realize it for themselves. It is the final goal of life, or from another point of view, it is the beginning of real spiritual life. Only in love of God does the soul function naturally and experience complete fulfillment. So what captured my attention here is that just as a flame is not identical with its sparks, but as it's their super self, their source of existence, the Supreme Lord is the super self of all selves. The jivatmas are bodies of the Paramatma, and he is the soul who possesses them. It makes us realize that how dependent we are on the super soul, our best friend, who knows better than we do, who makes looking for any possible arrangement for us. He's always thinking before we are how to bring us to him, who's accompanying us in every different species and form of life to whatever planet we go to, how he's as Prabhupada says again and again, best friend, waiting to help us. So everything Lord Narayan said to Gopakumara is all substantiated by these points that we've raised about the Lord as the super soul, and of course, how the Lord reciprocates with those devotees who aspire to render service to him in spontaneous loving affection, and how he's ready to bring them to him and makes all arrangements. In fact, I think one of the things that was, I seem to recall, was that when Gopakumara goes back to Mathura, and then he goes to Goloka from Mathura, he sees the Lord. The Lord sees him. He smells. He's captivated by his fragrance of his body. He gets a glimpse, sporty,
whatever it may be, of the Lord there in Mathura, who comes to him, and then he disappears. And Gopakumar then, in attempt to catch him, you know, it's like the same story of Nandulal, you know, the wonderful play that Bhakti Marg Swami used to do, you know, when the Bilva Mangal Thakur was every day, you know, Nandulal was coming and bringing milk for him, but Bilva Mangal Thakur didn't know that it was Krishna that was bringing milk. He thought he was a young cowherd boy that was coming, bringing him milk every day, and was helping him, bringing him along, showing him the way to get to Vrindavan. And then all of a sudden, Bilva Mangal Thakur, he realizes that, wait a minute, this is Nandulal, this is Krishna. And he tries to capture him. He can't see him, but he tries to capture him. Krishna's making him try to catch him and to hold him in his embrace. You know? And then, of course, what happens is that that's what happens to the devotees. Same thing happened to Gopakumara. He saw Krishna, he smelled the fragrance of his body. He went to capture him. And the next thing you know is he was in the Yamuna River. And he fainted in the Yamuna River. And there's no, like sometimes we may think, oh, he left his body. There's no discussion about that whatsoever. He left his body. He saw Krishna, he was trying to embrace him and fainted in the Yamuna River. And then the next thing, after he wakes up from his faint, he sees that he's just faster than the speed of the mind. He sees Vaikuntha below him. And there he is in Goloka. And then he just sees the residents of Goloka. And he sees that there's something really special about them. They seem to have a special kind of love that I've not seen anywhere before this. And their hearts seem to be so totally immersed and engrossed in somebody who's captured their hearts completely. And he wanted to know who he was. And he started to approach people that he was seeing them, captivated by that love, and asking them, you know, but they weren't responsive. They were just too much absorbed in their meditation and their love for him. And finally, he found one man and similarly captivated, and he asked him, can you tell me who's the king here? and then he said, well, it's Nanda Maharaj. And then he really understood, Nanda Maharaj. Well, this is the village of Nanda Maharaj. This is the place where his cowherd boy, his son, Panagopa, this is the place. And then, you know, then he tries to find out, where is he now? And he asks everybody, who is Gopal? And they say, well, he's coming soon. He's coming soon. He went off to the pasturing grounds this morning, and we're all waiting for him to return. Just, you'll see, he's soon coming. So he sat by the gate, just waiting. No, different gate, as we said, much different than the gate of Vaikuntha. It was not all this opulence and all this awesome, awe-inspiring, reverential, falling down, getting up, falling down, getting up. None of that. This was just the gate, different gate. This is Krishna, the gate where Krishna's returning from the pasturing ground. And Sarup! He even called him out by his name. Sarup! And he just lunged into an embrace and lost consciousness. All happened so quickly, so quickly. So anyways, I don't know. I don't know if I digressed or what, but let us chant some japa. And it's Saturday, right? Yes, okay, it's Saturday, so I'm justified. I'm not holding you up for work. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Hari Shiva Siddhi Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna. So thank you very much, dear devotees. We will end here. And we'll resume on the Monday morning. And I don't remember what next verse will be, but maybe I should say it. Text 86. So I will unmute you, maybe. Oh, you can unmute yourself.
Yasho just left his body.
Yasho just left his body.
5 o'clock okay. Your time.
Thank you, Guru Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.